Welcome to the Heart of Show Business. I am your host, Alexia Melocchi. I believe in great storytelling and that every successful artist has a deep desire to express something from the heart to create a ripple effect in our society. Emotion and entertainment are closely tied together. My guests and I want to give you insider access to how the film, television, and music industry works. We will cover dreams come true, the road less traveled, journey beginnings, and a lot of insight and inspiration in between. I am a successful film and television entrepreneur who came to America as a teenager to pursue my show business dreams. Are you ready for some unfiltered real talk with entertainment visionaries from all over the world? Then let's roll sound and action. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. We are here for yet another fabulous episode of The Heart of Show Business, as well as a very special interview on the Eden magazine, which you probably will have already read in the March issue about this fantastic show called Queens that is airing on Nat Geo, or National Geographic, the first week of March. And with me, I have the executive producer and the owner of Wildstar Films, Vanessa Berlovich. I had the pleasure of actually interviewing Bertie Gregory, also on the Eden magazine. And of course, he is part of this whole amazing company that is advocating for wildlife and the protection of animals around the world. So welcome to my show, Vanessa.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Oh my gosh, it's so great to have you. And I have to say, I watched, of course, the previews and, before it came out, and I was so touched and I was so moved and I was so blown away. And I just really got to get deep into this and ask you some really interesting questions about this. The first thing, obviously, is it took 4 years to make this docuseries. And what really stood out for me is when you talked about the differences in climate change in just those 4 years, and you observe those when it comes to the filming. Can you go a little bit deeper about this?
Yeah, I mean, we had, I think, one of the worst droughts in East Africa in 20 years happened in the middle of our filming. And we all know that droughts are getting worse with climate change. But it was so striking because our team literally had been following elephants. In fact, there was one amazing elephant called Selenge, who turned out to be blind, who our director, Faith Masembe, is the first Black woman to produce natural history show, Premium Natural History. Super proud of that. But she had been following elephants for our Savannah Queens episode and, you know, came back. Filming was suspended because of the drought and because of COVID. Came back to see unbelievable scenes of devastation, and in fact discovered that her favorite elephant, who she had so beautifully played Somewhere Over the Rainbow to in order to make her feel relaxed because she couldn't see, so she would play music to her, and she discovered that her elephant hadn't made it through the drought, which was devastating. And, you know, just heartbreaking for all our team to sort of witness the extremes that are happening more and more in our environment as a result of climate change.
That's so amazing that you brought that up, because that was actually one of the most moving part for me, is to see that, to see the elephant approach while music was being played so that they could literally, you know, have some connection and know that they feel safe. And I thought that was so beautiful. And you also touched upon the fact that you have been very, very focused on giving opportunities to female filmmakers. Of course, it is a show about queens, and it is a show about the female leadership in the animal space, but and in the animal planet. But also, it was so intentional, I would think, to not only hire seasoned female filmmakers, but you also had the seasoned female filmmakers become almost like mentors to the new generation. I'd love to hear more about that.
Absolutely. It was when we set out to make Queens, which was totally new. No one had actually focused on female leaders in the natural world before. We said it was an unbelievable opportunity to showcase and spotlight female talent in our industry. And it seemed to make sense because we were looking for a different angle, maybe on what had been done before, where we always show the sort of showy males with their big manes and their kind of teeth and nails and big fights. So we wanted people, diversity of voices that would look at nature maybe with new, fresh eyes. And so we contacted a few very established female filmmakers. In fact, within the director of photography world, there are probably only five out of hundreds that are female. And two of them we invited to become our series directors of photography, which is Justine Evans and Sophie Darlington, and said, we can't staff our entire series with women. And that sort of highlights the problem, because there just haven't been enough women who've been given the opportunity to work on these big shows. So they were phenomenal. They helped recruit new, young, up-and-coming camera talent from around the world. And they selected an amazing Brazilian girl, an Alaskan woman, a woman from Tanzania, Faith from Kenya, as well as a whole number of junior camera assistants who all got the opportunity to be trained by them online, in person, have their rushes reviewed. Red, who are an amazing camera company that helped supply free cameras actually for these women, which was phenomenal, meant that they could actually, for the first time, sometimes hold professional cameras. For a woman who's trying to make it in Africa, she's going to have no access to the kind of camera gear that we need to make these shows. So what sort of happened was Queens became this living academy almost, where the 4-year process of making the show became an opportunity to train other women and bring them up in our genre. And I'm delighted to say that, we have managed to completely shatter the numbers. Prior to that, there would be 1% of a production would be female. And now it's, multiples of that. So we've really, really sort of changed the face of the industry in the course of one production.
I absolutely love what you said because, of course, March is also, the month for celebrating the Day of the Woman and how timely it is that you're coming up with the show. I would probably think it's a strategy of marketing as well from Nat Geo to release the show Queens on the month of the woman, correct? How
Yes.
did the project come about? Was it something that you went and you thought about it and then you
Yes.
pitched it? And
Yeah.
was it something like a made to order?
No.
Oh.
I think there's a moment in time where I was one of very few women that managed to become senior in my industry. And I worked at the BBC for 25 years and became one of the very few executive producers that was able to sell and pitch these very expensive projects. And it's very significant that it's only really when women have that power that you can affect change. And that was something that I was able to enact when I started a company with my husband. I was able to have those conversations with very senior buyers. For example, Janet Hanvisering is another woman, Korean woman, who's very senior at National Geographic. One-on-one as women, I pitched her an idea and said, I'd been following elephants around for 2.5 years with my family, making a film about the matriarchy for Disney Nature. And I was really struck by the female leadership that I was seeing in the elephants. And I went to Janet and I said, why don't we make a film about two great matriarchs in the savannah, that where you have the hyena matriarch and you have the lion matriarch, and in this one place in Ngorongoro Crater, Tanzania, they fight each other. And I thought that would make a fantastic one-off. But I said, why don't we feature the two women that have also become specialists of filming those two female-led species? And she listened, and I think it was that it sparked something in her as a female leader, and she just went, Vanessa, that's a whole series. So in that moment, it went from being a single idea to a whole series. And then she said, go away, come back with six great stories, six great matriarchs. And we looked at the, there are 10 that have officially recognized. And we said, okay, well, which ones will give us the balance of different sorts of habitats, different styles of leadership? But then when we started to look even further and speak to scientists, we realized that there are more animal societies than we realized are led by females, and that the way that they show that dominance is much more subtle. And that's often why it's been overlooked in the past. So, frankly, we've got queens two, queens three ready to go.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. And also because what I love about it, and that's actually, it seems to be the prime message of your production company, is that you do not want to be preachy. You don't want to be just, okay, let me tell you about this, and this is what you should be doing. And you really do deliver that style, you know, the inspirational, moving, but also learning the education, like the episode of the bonobos, which I was so moved and touched by it because, of course, first of all, I had no idea that this specific race of the monkey, whatever you want to call it, that they're so similar to humans. But I really loved that you were showing with all those little monkeys that they needed the female, they needed the female and the human, that were the women who were chosen to take care of this beautiful creatures and would have them for months just to build the bond. And I think that was so beautiful.
Yes. No, I mean, the bonobo story in the Congo is phenomenal. So there's an amazing sanctuary that we worked with, the Mama Bonobo Sanctuary. And what they do there is so inspiring. These are women that are often orphaned themselves by civil war, who volunteer their services to literally live 24 hours a day with these baby orphaned bonobos, because in those first few days, literally those babies will die of heartbreak if they don't have constant comfort and contact. So, you know, these women take on this huge responsibility to rehabilitate these orphaned creatures and, you know, repair their damaged mental health, help them to become a bonobo again, you know, learn what it is to be a normal free animal. And then they actually help them get reintroduced into big outdoor kind of community forests where they can live almost as wild again. It's an amazing story. It's a story of mutual redemption, actually, of both the women and the bonobos. And I think that's what, you know, all along the way, we worked with unbelievable women who were obviously our crew. I'm hugely inspired by the women that helped film the series. You know, little Tanya Escobar, who's 5 foot tall, just shinning her way hundreds of feet up into the rainforest and enduring massive tropical storms and being attacked by wild bees and day after day. So that was inspiring as it was. But then we worked with people like the lionesses in Kenya, which is an all-female patrol group, who literally go out and police the savannah and protect the elephants. And they're coming face to face with poaching on a daily basis and going into communities and trying to understand and help people deal with the very real conflicts that they have now that, you know, human populations are growing and they come into conflict with elephants. So we worked with these women alongside our filming and just inspired by so many people supporting, documenting, saving wildlife in the world. And that's what we wanted to show with the bigger story of this series.
I think you totally succeeded in that, and I love that you said that there's going to be a Queens 2 and Queens 3.
I hope
So,
so.
I fingers crossed, fingers crossed. How did you get to Angela Bassett? Was she like on your list, or did she approach you to executive produce and obviously lend the narration to this?
So when we set out to make this show, we went, well, who would be the voice? And there was one voice we wanted. We wanted someone like Angela, who's a phenomenal actress. She can bring both high drama, she's sassy, she can do humor, you know, incredible breadth. But she also represents, she's such an icon of, you know, the acting world. She represents female empowerment, diverse female empowerment. And she is the queen. I mean, you know, from Black Panther, she's played this incredibly regal role. And we felt that she embodied everything that, you know, we aspired to represent with this series. So At the point when we had a first cut, we approached her agent and sent it to her and hoped, fingers crossed, that she would like the show. And she was, I think she was immediately intrigued. But as much as anything, she was interested in the ethos of WildStar and what we were trying to set out with our academy, which is also taken on what we've been doing on Queens, which is training up more underrepresented groups, not just women, all different groups that have no voice in our industry. And she is doing something very similar with her company. So she said everything about this project fits it. And she enjoyed the content. She felt she could really give it, some gravitas and but also bring her acting skills to it, because it's a very drama-led style, really, that we've adopted. But she also felt that she wanted to be an ambassador for the series. And she's been absolutely phenomenal. So she's the exec producer. And we've also working with her company, who are helping amplify everything that we're striving to achieve.
I think Angela is such a perfect choice. I mean, obviously, Wakanda forever. You're just like,
Yeah,
oh, she's like
exactly.
the queen of Africa. I mean, you could not, obviously, you shot above and beyond Africa, but she's a perfect, voice and presence for something so spectacular as the Queen's series is. What advice would you give to others? Because of course, there is, the readers of Data Magazine, but also my listeners to my podcast, people do want to do something about it. And sometimes they do feel helpless and like, well, I'm not going to go to Africa. How can I help? Like, how can I help, wildlife survive? Because you've said it, the statistics are staggering about how much we're losing the animal species, in the planet and how much faster the rate is going. So, what type of advice would you give to both aspiring filmmakers on one category, but also to just the general public to become more active and more involved in the preservation of wildlife and conservation, of course.
So I'll break that into two answers. I think firstly, with aspiring filmmakers, now more than ever, we need new voices. We need voices that are close to the people that live with wildlife, which is why Faith was so important. She is so important. She's Kenyan. And, her voice is, we need to start hearing from the people who live with animals, because their voice matters. They have to deal with what it's like to be in conflict sometimes with animals, but they also have the best understanding. They're often guardians of this wildlife. So we need to empower them. We need to make stories for them. We need to have them tell their stories. So I would say any aspiring filmmaker that lives in an environment with animals, make films about those animals. Get those stories out onto any platform that you can, because your voice matters. I worked in the BBC for decades, and we made wonderful shows that reached large international audiences. But it was white British voices making those films. And I think that the stories that will come from the people locally are different, and they're important. So that's what I would say. And I would say that people who are inspired by nature and the environment to make films, be as creative as you can. You've got to be. People, you've got to compete with very entertaining things. You've got Marvel films, you've got, incredible dramas. So you need to use your creativity to get these stories out, so that use humor, use drama, use a pop star, use anyone that you can that can bring young people to this story, so that more people are made aware. And then I would say, if you're actually trying to become active in supporting the natural world, it's all about policy. It's all about who you vote for. This is, find out what your government thinks and which parties are pro the environment, and vote for them. It's as simple as that. So I would say, if you are inspired by a film or a particular species, go online, see what groups like Mama Bonobo are working to support, for example, bonobos. See if you can donate, see if you could go and volunteer. There are lots of ways that people can help and be active in this cause.
Yeah, I love what you said about volunteering because I think it will be making such a memorable experience for somebody young to go and say, instead of just going to Ibiza and partying or just going to some, fun, just nightclubbing thing, why don't I learn about myself by being in this type of environment? What do you think that we as humans can learn from these animals, both on the matter of leadership as women, of course, but also as a human race?
Well, there's much to learn from these female leaders, starting with that. I've been so inspired. Coming up as a female leader, I looked around and there weren't many role models in my industry. And I looked around at, there are great leaders in music, acting, fashion, some in government, not many. And the other thing that really struck me was that the types of leadership that you saw were quite. There seemed to be, you were either one type or another. There didn't seem to be a sense of you could be all different types of leaders as a woman. And I think that's what I was amazed at when we looked in the natural world, is we've got female leaders that use wisdom and experience like an elephant, whereas we've got hyenas who are frankly a badass. They use their brute strength because they're bigger than the males. They're very aggressive and they'll do anything to seize the crown. They are absolutely ruthless. And then you've got, bonobos that lead with kind of consensus and love and peace, and a much more sense of communal and community and alliance, and all different variations, lionesses that lead with these very tight sisterhoods that will literally do whatever it takes to protect that sisterhood. And I found that very interesting because it makes you realize, often as a mother and a senior leader, I feel all of these, I feel a pull and a push. And seeing that also in the natural world where these leaders were trying to keep their family safe, but also lead the whole community through a drought or whatever they were trying to challenge they were trying to face. And I particularly found the elephant, the older elephant matriarch. She reminded me of how I feel sometimes when she hit the road and she was like, I've never seen a road before. I don't know what to do. And she was paralyzed. And I love that she looked to the younger one. She looked to her daughter and her granddaughter and they showed her the way. And I sometimes feel like that with my team where, the younger female leaders, when I hit sort of obstacles of, I'm not sure how we do this. It's not how I used to do it. They'll go, it's okay. It'll be fine. We'll make it work. And that's I found really inspiring just looking at how the animals do it. But I think generally we can take huge inspiration from the natural world. I find it very calming to know that animals always find a way. They always find a solution. Their drive is for life and for survival and for optimism. Their drive is not for destruction. There is no animal species that's trying to destroy another. They are just struggling to make their way. And that positivity, I think we could all learn a lesson from that sort of coexistence, that we see in the natural world of all these species.
What a beautiful ending to this podcast. I really do believe that there is a great reason for documentaries like this. It's not just about animals and it's not just about wildlife. It's really about learning something so that we can create our own humanity and make it a little better. So we can learn from that. Let's not destroy what God has created. Let's not destroy the magnificent balance that there is in nature already, and let's try to restore the balance ourselves in our own life. This has been such a great conversation, Vanessa. Thank you for coming on my show. And anybody who's listening, please do check out this incredible series, Queens, on Nat Geo. By the time this episode drops, it'll already be available to you. So make sure that you educate yourself, that you entertain yourself, you get inspired, you get touched and moved like I did. Let's keep on making more great, inspired content. And this is the Heart of Show Business. If you like this episode, please do subscribe and give it a review because I love to get more wonderful people like Vanessa on my show. And over and out. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Heart of Show Business. If you enjoyed it, please share it with a friend. You can also subscribe, rate, and review the show on your favorite podcast player. If you have any questions or comments or feedback for us, you can reach me directly at theheartofshowbusiness.com.